now we'll be all right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, this thing's been going forever. Look at that. We'll pray, then we'll get after this. Father, thank you for the word that you've given for me to bring forth, Lord God. Thank you that it's your word and not mine. Use me as just a vessel, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I gave Reed the footnotes of this yesterday, and he reminded me that it was going to change, or it could change, and it did, oddly enough. I was going to talk about the myth of I forgot already what it was. Do more and say less, right? But we, as you know, I'm already on this fit about we're not going to start saying less. Now, that doesn't mean you start doing less and saying more, but we're gonna go through this. The devil, after I gave my little testimony, the devil reminded me. He's like, hey, you know, you only get paid on part of that $400,000 because one of them was huge, the CDs. And I laughed about it. I said, again, I'll get another one. It doesn't matter. So the devil will do that. He'll say, you'll give this testimony, and then he'll bring something that doesn't make no sense. Well, it might make sense, but it doesn't have anything to do with your situation. Right? He's just trying to get you off your faith. He's trying to take that testimony and turn it right back into a test. We're not doing it. So, and how he does that is he plants little seeds, and he gets you to start speaking the wrong things. That's why we got to watch what's in our mouth, and that is what I've named this little thing tonight. Watch your mouth, or what's in your mouth, or on the stream it's going to say watch your mouth, because that's what we have to start doing. I was telling Reed last night about a statistic. There are pastors in the pulpit that have never confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Not in this church, hopefully not in any of the churches we know, but that is a real thing. It has happened. It's documented that preachers have said, man, I preached for 38 years before I even accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. One, where was the vetting process? Goodness gracious me. But it doesn't matter. I digress. Well, I wanted to look at some statistics, so I'm searching around on the internet for some church statistics. Not bad statistics, but I wanted good statistics. I didn't want to know about anything that church declining, fewer and fewer people are identifying as Christians. Dang, it's not on the internet, unless you're very specific. See, what the world is trying to report to you is how society is affecting the church. And not how the church is affecting society. And a lot of that comes back down to the fact that the church has so long been running their mouth against the word of God. That's why, even though we talk a lot about faith, faith, it's our deal here, right? We're a faith-filled church. Yes. But we have to start speaking our faith out. We need to stop focusing on the bad things in that are going on. You know, during the 2020 election and for 6 months afterwards, everybody had something bad to say. And all we did was strengthen the enemy's resolve and his position, because we as Christians, and in this church, I was one of them, didn't speak the word. Dude ain't got that much power. All right? And the devil ain't got that much power. The devil, would you believe that the power that the devil uses is the church's word? Because he has us all tripped up. The economy's bad. Oh, man, you know, I've been a tither for a long time, but I'm starting to think that doesn't work. And so you pull back off of the tithe. Or maybe you've been tithing and sowing, and now your sowing is pulled back. And then you still can't pay your bills, and so the tithe is pulled back. And automatically, you're mad at the dude that's been up here saying, give, and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, right? Pouring over, running over, right? So we're mad at the guy that's just bringing the word, telling you what the truth is. But all the while, when you get home, every time he says something, you got something to say too. That doesn't work. You open up your bank account, and the first thing you see when maybe you're overdrawn, maybe you're down in your last 10 bucks. Oh, I'm broke. You do not have to be broke because you have zeros in your bank account. You are not broke because you have zeros in your bank account. One time I said I was broke. Pastor Christine about punched me in the throat. I was brand new at this thing. She's like, you are not broke. Don't ever let me hear you say it again. I don't say it anymore. She was serious about it. That's how we have to be. It's if you say, you know what, the finances aren't there yet, well, you're just speaking the truth. That doesn't mean you've given up on what God had promised you. And you don't want to say that I've got billions and confuse your faith. But we can be truthful and speak from a position of faith. And make this thing work for us.
Amen.
Right? And I'm talking about our confession.
Yes.
So I did hunt, I found some statistics. Not really statistics, but I found a societal kind of report on the church. It took a while. But if regular church attendance or religious practice has been proven to remove people from poverty.
Amen.
It's documented.
Amen.
Attending regular church services has helped people go from the poorhouse into the house of their dreams.
Amen.
It's because they start believing in what God has for them. And see, my dad doesn't want anything bad for me. I'm talking about my heavenly father.
Amen.
I mean, my dad, Clint, good guy. He's not like hoping I'm broke.
Right.
He doesn't hope I'm driving a beater. But my heavenly father, he wants the best for me.
Yes.
I can't find a scripture where it says that Jesus is looking to ruin you. And so it's not in the Bible. A lot of things we attribute to the Bible, not in the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm going to mess around here. I'm going to go, I think I did good on this, the scriptures, but we know that sometimes I write the wrong ones down. James 3:2. I have this in Amplified Classic right now. And it's just talking about watching your mouth, okay? For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. If we set bits in the horses' mouths to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. And then we know that the tongue is a fire, you know, all those nifty things that come after that. We allow our mouths to get the best of us. And if you'll remember, Pastor Ricky I don't know if it was on Sunday, it might have been a couple sermons back, he was talking about idle words.
Yes.
Those things we say not even thinking.
Yes.
My feet are killing me.
Right?
Right? That those things, those idle words, those things like just joking around.
Right.
Hey, Clinton, you see this? Yeah, man, I'd love to do that, but I'm broke.
Idle
word. You don't mean that you're broke. You're not even paying attention to the fact that you said you're broke. But the fact of the matter is that the devil uses it as a seed for his doing. Because if our words are seeds, no matter what they do,
amen,
right? No matter if it's good or bad. Life and death are the power of the tongue. That's the next one. Proverbs 18:21, Amplified Classic. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? And we only speak death, that's what you get. Those who love it, you know, shall eat its fruit. And in the different translations, it says talkative people get themselves in trouble, which is true. I know. Like, that's Proverbs 18:21 and Amplified, Billy, please. So there's people like, that's why when they were, anytime they subpoena like a high-ranking member of anything, or you get subpoenaed, your lawyer or attorney will, in fact, kind of help you through this. And they will tell you to zip it when it's time to zip it. Because what you'll do is you'll give way too much information. Right? And then next thing you know, you lost your house because you just couldn't stop talking. Talkative people are that way. I'm a talkative person. Whew, can get you. Don't be too talkative. It's all right every once in a while. God gave me a gift, right? And it is the ability to speak for long amounts of time at a time. So Pastor Ricky, when he was talking about the scripture about idle words, that's actually it. It's Matthew 12, 36, and 37. We're not going to go there. But it's talking about every idle word. You'll have to pay account for it. So we got to, when we're talking about watching our mouths and how we're speaking, we have to account for everything. Yes. Every single word that escapes your lips. Yep. What did I just say? Why did I just say that? Yeah. How did that come out? And a lot of times it's, gosh, man. I can be offensive. Just really bad. I can. Offensive. Oh yeah, I'm kind of abrasive at times. They get a trip out of it at the branch because, see, when somebody's being abrasive, I am the perfect counter to that because I have this, you can ask Heather, I have this ability to use nice words because I had to stop cussing a while back. I don't always, I'm not the best at it all the time, but I thank God he helps me to not cuss, amen. Right? Because I had a mouth like a sailor. It's not something to boast about. I'm just telling you how it is. So I learned to use fun words to be back, to get back at you, right? That's, in fact, the night that I got called to ministry, I felt amazing because I berated and belittled a woman who hadn't paid me my furniture rent. And so, and God told me that night on my way home, I was driving and he said, hey, I'm going to use your mouth for good and not for evil anymore. Build people up and not break them down. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I was spending time in hearing God's word. I listened to sermons all the time. I drove from Havasu home and listening to music wasn't cutting it for me because then I'd drive like an idiot because I listened to bad music back then. So I started listening to Hagee. And I listen to Hagee every night. And a couple other ministers, depending on how long or how late I left. But he called me that night to start building people up with my words. And that he was going to use me for it. That's pretty cool, right? But you can break people down with your words. You can break your own self down with your words. Can you believe that? That the sword inside your mouth, the fire inside your mouth will burn you just as bad as burns the next person. And when you're burning the next person, when you're belittling somebody, when you are being abrasive, right? You're killing yourself. God wants us to be loving. Now, I am still abrasive when that's what they like me at the branch for. Because people make little girls cry. I don't think you should make little girls cry when they're just doing their jobs. So I will go, and I won't make you cry, but I'll get you as close as I can. Not to be mean or anything like that, but just to tell you, you've got to stop treating the ladies this way. Otherwise, you're going to have to leave, and if you don't want to leave, we can make you leave. And And then we call the police and they leave, right? If it gets to that point. Most of the time, I'm able to, huh? No, this is now at the bank. Like, because I'm good at handling people in that situation. Yes, I hired a guy for conflict once. He wasn't good at it. Me, I'm all right. Proverbs 18:4. This is in the Amplified, and it is, words are life-giving. How about that? Proverbs 18:4. I've got to put my sermons on my phone and so I can read the Bible off of my tablet. That's what I got to do. Or go back to when I used to, like, write them. But sometimes I'm like, what did I write there? Typing so much easier. The words of a discreet and wise man's mouth are like deep waters, plenteous and difficult to fathom. And the fountain of a skillful and godly wisdom is like gushing streams, speaking fresh, pure, and life-giving. This is that thing I was talking about just a second ago. The words we speak are life-giving if we speak them right. If I come to you all the time and I tell you how much of a loser you are, how you're a bum, how you never amount to anything, those words will take root in the person you're speaking them to. That's proven through science and stuff like that. You can kill a plant by speaking bad words to it. Did y'all know that? You can do everything you want. It will not live. It will die. And the opposite is true. If you speak good things to a plant, it does good. It thrives. It's amazing. I wonder if that's how Pastor Ricky grew all that moss that time. Pastor Ricky, I gave him a fish tank, right? And with a little bit of moss wrapped around a stick. And it turned into this big old ball. And moss grows pretty easy. I can't grow moss very well. It usually dies. If it would stop dying. No, I'm just joking. But we used to laugh. I'd go to his house and be like, how are you growing that moss? Because it was perfect. It was green and lush, and it just looked like a tree. He was probably speaking good words to it. Because he does a pretty good job of that. Rather than sharing what isn't going well, we should speak on what is going well.
Yes.
And speak what we believe, not what we see. The whole, like I put here, the whole faith, not by sight.
Yeah.
We live by faith, right?
Yes.
And this is, if we would spend more time saying and less time complaining and more time believing and less time debating, we could move the world.
Yeah. Good
work. How's that work? Well, speaking. So many times, we assume, and Facebook is riddled with it, right? Or Instagram, or maybe TikTok, whatever you're on. At least four or five of your friends today posted how bad something went. And they posted it in a great fashion with a lot of craziness. You never hear anything good happen from these people. They could have won the lottery. They will disappear. They got a new car. Nothing about the lottery. How good their life is going because they won the lottery, right? But man, let them drop their cell phone in the toilet. They will tell you everything about that cell phone going in the toilet. They will tell you what was in the toilet. They will tell you why they were near a toilet. They should have had their phone in their pocket or in their purse or something like that, but who cares? It's their fault anyways. But they'll tell you all the bad that's going on in their life. But they will not share with you the good. Now, the news is that way. We've kind of been programmed this way. Ratings are not created by glory to God, I just got a raise. They are amongst Christian people. And they should be. Your 25 or 30 Christian friends that you go to church with or whatever. They'll say hallelujah. Yeah. They'll give you a high five. They'll like your post, right? And some of your non-Christian friends will do that too. But seriously, some of them, and I learned this in something from a sermon from Dr. Gene. Even some of your Christian friends are just waiting for you to fall. So not all your Christian friends are going to be happy about your raise. But you know that they will get on there if you say, this is what happened. Oh, I can't believe this happened. They'll get an, oh, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll pray for you, bud. And so you'll get 9,000 comments on how you stubbed your toe at the bathroom and broke your nail, right?
Yeah.
Why were you in the bathroom in a public restroom with no shoes on? I don't know. Imagine the gangrenous sore, right? Let's not. But they'll tell you all about it. But they will not tell you that, you know, that they just got a great deal on a brand new car. And people won't comment on that kind of stuff because they're jealous or they're mad. But we have to rise above that.
Yes.
We have to be less about clicks and more about changing our world, changing our lives, and changing how we go about this whole thing. Because until we get our words fixed, doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter if it's idle. It doesn't matter if you meant it. It all counts. Every bit of it counts. You can and you can rip that stuff up. You repent, rip it up. That I did not mean to say that, God. Because then you're calling into doubt the promises that He made to you, whether it's a joke or not. We need to get past that. I like to make jokes. We don't have to joke about being broke. We don't have to joke about cars breaking down. My car runs all the time. All the time. Something starts breaking down, well, Jesus will fix it. Well, he might have put up his carpenter belt. We don't know that. We're not in heaven, right? But he'll send you the ability to get that stuff fixed. The testimony earlier, man, when the devil came back and said, hey, not all that counts, I could have said, oh my gosh, you're right. Oh, I'm going to look like an idiot. Or, better yet, laugh. I'll get another one. When I was driving home, I was spending time in some, I was worshiping, listening to praise and worship music, and I was coming over the hill, and I was like, man, I called in that $400,000 plus came in. Son, I'll just call in another one. I mean, if we're on a roll, let's go ahead and keep on it. And so just yell it out. Be like, God, send another. God, send another. A lot of times, well, we'll talk about kids' life for a minute. Heather and I, we knew that we were winding down out of kids' life probably 3-4 years before we left kids' life. We were being graced to stay there. Even when the doctors were still pastoring, our time was coming to an end. And had, in all reality, ended. God was giving us grace to stay there, but je ne sais quoi? The anointing and the flow kind of had kind of waned. Thank God He's kept filling us daily. But that excitement that I had, man, you could not get me calmed down when I started in kids' life and for like the first 7 years. But then it started to wane. I don't know if it's because, I mean, my kids were out of kids' life, whatever it happened to be, right? But He gave us a grace to be there. I don't know why I'm on this story. I was talking about something. Nonetheless, God did good. And He moved us out. So I got lost. Nonetheless. Where was I, God? Words. God is good. I was driving down the hill, praising and worshiping God. Oh, hey. Another one, God. And then sometimes, this is where kids' life is. We lost all our workers. And what did we do? We called them in off the... workers for the field. Workers for the field. Workers for the field. And you know what? In hindsight, as often as we said that, I can't truthfully tell you that I believed it every time we said it. Because I didn't see people. I had done tried to recruit people. I had done asked everybody I knew. I think the hardest one was I was told to ask somebody to take kids' life over. I was told way before to prepare them to come up into kids' life. And they didn't know it until they had already decided to move out of the state. I held on to it. Part of that was probably because when I first heard it, I was probably still really excited, still in the anointing and in that flow and in that season. So I waited too long to release, right? And then we had workers. I launched the Getting Youth Back There Preaching. Jordan was our experimental child on that one. She did a great job. But when you're saying these things and when you're putting them out there, make sure that you've got faith on it. I'm saying that so you know that. If you're not going to put faith on it and you're speaking things, I'm going to win $1 million. One, how are you going to win $1 million, right?
Come on.
You got to think about that stuff. And then, but I've been believing God for those lotto numbers. But you don't believe it, right? And on that, you probably shouldn't be, but that's between you and God, whatever you want to do. But we need to make sure that when we're speaking things so we don't confuse and hurt our faith, that we're speaking truth and things that we believe. If you don't believe it, don't speak it. But if you do believe it, don't hold it. Speak those things out. Watch God deliver them. I'm going to tell you the truth. Yesterday when I stood up and I said that, God sent them in. Hey, go, CD. And I even called them up. CDs, come in. Okay? I believed it. And I didn't think another thing about it. Be honest with you. I didn't go home defeated when they didn't show up, like I said earlier. And when I got to work today and I did the first one, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, man. We're almost there. And then the second one came and I just added them up. And then I was like, oh, wow. That's what I asked for yesterday. I didn't allow the enemy to come and trick me and get me off of where God had me. We just did it. And tomorrow when I go in, somebody else will show up to see. I know. Check this out. My schedule is booked tomorrow. My schedule is booked full through what day? Oh, through the 5th. And we go by the month. And so when I was speaking these things on my way down the hill, I was like, God, you know what? Send more CDs.
Amen.
Send more.
Yeah.
And you know what? The people that are going to get in the way that are on my schedule right now, they're not going to show up. They don't need to come in. We'll take these other ones. Right?
Yeah.
And that's where we have to be. If you know, if the devil lays something in front of you as an obstacle, just tell him no. God knows a way around it.
Amen.
You ain't got to hold on to it. You don't have to believe the devil's lies. You don't have to fall for his tricks. That's what the armor of God's for. You can just get after what God has for you. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see. It's going to be awesome. Because I got a lot of things I need to do. Heather's 40th birthday party is coming up. I haven't even planned it yet, so somebody help. That's in July. I hear it's supposed to be expensive. That's okay. I'll have the money. Right? She did very well for me. I don't know that I'll paint the house before her birthday. Because I don't think it needs to be painted. But you never know. She painted, day before my 40th birthday party, she stayed up till like 2:30 in the morning painting our house. because we were having a barbecue the next day, and that paint would not do, I guess. I couldn't tell you. But we just got started, and Heather doesn't stop when she it's we got to get it done. Look at the hallway. Her, Pastor Chelsea, and Heather, Ireland were here the other day fixing that up. It's awesome looking. That door tripped me out. I don't know if you guys know this, but the door back there, did y'all see that? I'm like, did y'all change the door?
Can you bring up the scripture, the foundational scripture for the year, the vision?
Isaiah. Just bring up the enlarging and growth slide. So go back to show.
So he's talking about language and the words that we speak and the things that we say. And this is what the Lord laid on my heart, was Genesis 11. I'll just read that from here. Genesis 11, verse 5 through 6. It says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language.'" So I know that he goes down, he confounds their language so they don't understand each other. But the Lord laid on my heart that the one language means that they're saying the same things.
Mm-hmm.
They're in agreement. They're speaking the same thing. And so the pastor has us say this. So we're speaking the same thing. We're in one language. And it goes on to say, "And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do," which means they haven't begun it yet, they're proposing it. They're talking about it. They're speaking about it. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So this is important. This is very important. And when we say it together as a family church, it is so that nothing that we say will be withheld. And it is the vision of the pastor and the job, one of the jobs of the body of Christ is to get behind the vision that the pastor has casted out. And we're supposed to support him. How we get there, it doesn't matter. That he tells us, and that's how we're just supposed to support the vision.
Amen.
And we support the vision by being in one language, meaning saying the same thing. And we don't speak against that. We don't say, "Oh, well, you know." And I'll tell you another thing, like Pastor Clinton was saying, the enemy will make it look. He'll make it look like this is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make the count look weak. Because I was even thinking about that when I came in. I thought, why do we look so weak? And instantly, the Holy Spirit says, "That's because you're going to grow." And I'm like, "Oh, that's right. That's right." He's trying to confuse us in the natural, but this is the Spirit, and this is what we believe. We do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. And this is what our faith is on, and we need to be in one language, and we need to speak what our pastor has put up there for us to speak.
Amen.
And be in agreement.
Amen.
And don't speak against it, and say, "We will." Nothing. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld.
Amen.
Amen. This will not be withheld.
Amen.
This will not be withheld. This will come to pass.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
That's good. And so in my last note, I have a bunch of notes, but in my last one that I put any words to, it's Proverbs 15:4. Just leave the logo up. We don't need the scripture. I'll read it for you. I have it out of the Amplified Classic. It says, "A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness, I think I said that right. Steve? Yes? Okay. "In it breaks down the spirit." Gentle, and so my note is just simply this: gentle words bring life and health. When I read this at first, I was attributing it to the words said to others only. But as I was saying before, it applies to you also, the speaker. So ask yourself this question: what are you saying about yourself? There's a lot of people that say, "Oh, I'm so stupid." That's one of my idle words. I'll say things like that, right? It's idle, but it still counts. And then, what are you saying about your spouse? What are you saying about your leaders? To yourself or to others?
Yes.
What are you saying about the pastors? What are you saying about your boss, your job, your mother-in-law? You ever think that if you stopped calling your mother-in-law an evil person, she'd be nice? I don't call my mother-in-law evil. She loves me. Hallelujah. I have said bad things about my boss, not my current boss, but just being angry. Those are idle words. Most of the time you don't mean it. But guard yourselves against that one, that leaders and pastors. That is the devil. 100%. Your pastors love you. They are that labor in prayer over the church and over you guys. And they want the best for you, much like your parents and your Heavenly Father. They love when their people are doing well. They hurt when you guys are hurting. Make sure you're lifting up in prayer. And Stephanie couldn't have hit the nail more square on the head. And I've told my pastor, I've told Pastor Ricky that, because I didn't know what my job was when I took this position. I didn't. I asked the pastor at the AOG what my job was. And he kind of explained it to me really good. You just follow the vision your pastor sets out. And so anything that the pastors tell me to do, so long as within reason, like the law, I just do it.
Amen.
And to this day, they have never asked me to do anything contrary to the law. And so if they ask me, Clinton, I need you to do Kids Life for the next year, and you're going to be in there by yourself, I will be in Kids Life for a year by myself.
Amen.
I'll clean the toilets. I started in service and cleaning these chairs and oiling them doors. We all ought to be there.
Amen.
We all ought to do our part in the ministry.
Yes. Yes.
And part of that is linking up with the vision.
Yes.
Not division, but the vision. And going after it.
Yes.
And it's okay to ask, hey, what can I do to help?
That's right.
Amen.
Because oftentimes pastors, and especially ours back there, both of them, they'll just do it themselves.
Yes.
They ain't going to come and ask. They do on when we have spring cleaning extravaganza. But step up.
Yes.
Step out. When I nobody was going to let me in their ministry. I was brand new. And I asked Pastor Tim, I'm in OSL. I got to do something for the church. What you want me to do? And I expected something glorious. And he told me, get a dust rag and some cleaner. And I'll try to find you some oil. I need you to clean all the chairs inside the sanctuary. And these doors sure are squeaky. And that's where I started.
Amen.
You ain't got to aspire to be in the fivefold ministry. You just got to aspire to do your part in the ministry.
Amen.
And speak good things on it. So we'll pray. I'm already late. I'm not going to get in trouble. Tonight's going to be a great night. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for this time together in your word, Lord. We ask that you would seal it in our hearts, Lord God, that we would stop letting idle words get in the way of us and your promises, Lord God, that when we speak something, we don't tear it up, but we water it with the word, Lord God. We water it with our faith. We water it with belief, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you have set a path in front of us, and we are going to go after the greater things, Lord God. We are going to go after the vision for the church this year. We're going to go after the lost of Bullhead City. We're going to go after the lost of Laughlin. We're going to go after the lost in the whole tri-state area, Lord God. We thank you so much for this opportunity that you have laid before us, Lord, that we would just follow your word, that we would follow your heart, Lord God, and we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody believe it said,
amen.
All righty, that's it. Have a good night.